So I have a question for you today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because here's what I know. This past week, our whole city, starting on like Monday, questions, am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? Were kind of flowing through our head. And by about Wednesday night, we were questioning, am I ready? And I know that most of us felt like we were as ready and as prepared as we possibly could be. And then Thursday happened. And I know for some of the people, like, you're here today. We have families that are at church today whose houses were flooded this past weekend. And I know that we did everything that we could to prepare. And I know that the devastation that we see when we drive through Davis Islands and over on the beach, because we have people in our church who have beach properties and they're just gone. And we wonder, God, did we miss something? Like, it's in these seasons that we say, God, where are you? And I would say this, that the devastation that we're experiencing in some ways looks like nothing compared to what Asheville and what Tennessee and some of the places in North Carolina are experiencing right now. I don't think I could have said it better than one of our members. I called him on Friday morning, and I had been texting him all throughout the day. They live in Hernando Beach. Most of you know Mike and Lynn Jones. I call him the donut slinger. You know, I've got a pizza slinger on Wednesday nights for Wednesday night for youth. I have a donut slinger. We call him the donut deacon. And so he and Lynn serve in our cafe area, and they live on Hernando Beach. And I said, how you doing Friday morning? He said, everything on the ground floor and landing coming up to the house is a total loss. He said, most of our outdoor stuff, our deck boxes, pool equipment destroyed. Their dock is on a dock across the canal from them. He said, my Jeep's totally flooded and submerged. And he said, and we're blessed. He said, it's just stuff. He said, but we're okay. And he said, a lot of people lost everything and some lost their lives. He said, we need to pray for everyone impacted by this storm. That's still going on because Friday it was then moving into Georgia and North Carolina and they didn't know what was coming. He said, God is good all the time and he will guide us through. Guys, being ready for a storm is important. But today I want to open your eyes up to the fact that the Word of God tells us that we have to be ready for something else. And it's interesting that God somehow aligned His Word with what we're experiencing in our community today. But I would ask you this question today. Are you ready for the return of Christ? You see, I asked you at the beginning, I said, are you ready? And I hear this roar of, yeah, we're ready. Are you ready for this? Are we ready for the return of Christ? Because when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he was concerned about what was going on then, but he was far more concerned about what was going to go on in eternity. And so many times we get hyper-focused on what we have right now or what we have lost right now. And God is saying, are you ready for the return of Christ? Think about it as we scroll through TikTok, as we binge on the latest Netflix series, hustle through our huge schedules. How many times this week have you stopped to think about eternity? And I just want to pause for a moment, because when you think about eternity, I want you to think about it this way. Something that is never, ever going to end. Like when you think, okay, I'm going to think for 1,000 years. 1,000 years from now, what are you going to be doing? 10,000 years from now, what are you going to be doing? 1,000,000 years from now, what are you going to be doing? 10 million years from now, 1 billion years from now, 1 trillion years from now. And that is the beginning of eternity. And most of us, myself included, I get so consumed with like right now that I forget that right now and what I'm experiencing right now is literally a blip on the radar of eternity. And 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul is trying to get them to understand that eternity is on the horizon. And we live in a world that is completely distracted constantly, a world that tells us, live for today. And now don't give a thought about what's going to happen tomorrow. But Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said this, there is a day coming you need to be prepared for. It's called the day of the Lord. Do you realize that statistics show that this generation in our culture today is the most connected generation in history? People have heard it said. People have said it all the time. But here's what I want you to know. This is the statistic that was staggering this week that I read. Over 90% of people ages 12 to 30 are facing stress and anxiety on a regular basis. 90%. In a world where change is the only constant that we have, how do we find peace? How do we find purpose? Here's the main idea that I want to share with you today that we're going to drill down on. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul calls people to live with intentionality. How intentional are we in the way that we live? Like, how intentional are we in the relationships that we build? How intentional are we in the spiritual life that we are saying that we care about? And so I want to call your attention to a couple of statements. These are a couple of, like, just big rock statements today. What I want to tell us to do, what I believe Paul's calling us to do in this passage, is he's saying, ready up. We've got to ready up. Now, I didn't realize that the term ready up is actually a term that is used by a lot of gamers. When they're ready for the contest to begin in gaming, they make the statement, ready up. But what does it mean for us spiritually? It means living in light of the return of Christ. Living in light, or living with the consciousness, or living with the awareness that Christ's return is imminent. What I mean by imminent is it could happen at any time, in any moment. We don't know when that's going to happen. And the Apostle Paul wanted the church in Thessalonica to know that Christ's return is imminent. Look at verses 1 through 3. It says, now concerning the time and the seasons, you don't need to know. You have no need to know or to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware of that day. Sorry, I just lost my place when that fell over. It says the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. There's something interesting in here. I want to back up. Can we back up to the slide before that where it has the first two verses on it? Because I think there's some stuff in here. It says, now concerning the time and the season. Do you know what I hear all the time? All the time people go, when is Christ going to return? When is Christ going to return? Do you know why we want to know the time and the season? Do you know why we want to know? This is what I think. If we knew the time and the season when Christ was going to return, here's what we would do. We would live like we wanted to live until it was just the right time. And then we would step into our relationship with Christ. How many of you are classic procrastinators? Anybody in here? Like, how many of you, when you're going on a trip, let's kind of divide the room up. You're going on a trip. You know you're going on vacation in 3 weeks. How many of you start packing 3 weeks in advance? Raise your hands. How many of you are married to one of those people, are in relation with those people, and you're like, what are you doing? I need those clothes. I need that stuff right now. I need that. And like, why are you packing out? How many of you, like, 16 minutes before you leave, you grab a bag and throw everything in there? How many are that way? Okay. That, I mean, and that works. I get it. It works. It can work. But how many of you who are last minute procrastinators have ever forgotten something? Oh, surprise. Surprise. Think about this in light of eternity. If God told us the time and the day, do you know what I believe most of us would do? Because we are selfish and sinful by our nature that we were born into. We would live without Christ up until the moment right before he was going to come. And then we got, oh, I got to fix things now. Which is interesting because there is a passage of scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 25, which kind of lets us know that this is how we act. It's a story of 10 virgins. And what they're doing is they're going to a wedding. And so they all bring their oil lamps. They all have the same equipment. But 5 of them remembered to make sure they had the power for the lamp. And 5 of them forgot. So they all had the same stuff. They all had the same opportunity. But only 5 were prepared and 5 were not. And I wonder if that's a picture of what will happen when Christ returns, when people will say, but I was going to church. I was going to church. But church doesn't get you into eternity. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what seals our eternity. And we don't know when he's going to return. And I know a lot of people say, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll put that off until tomorrow. Do you know the word day in the Greek is this word? Himera. Himera. It represents the coming day of judgment. When this word in the New Testament is seen, especially here, it's not like day. It's actually a day of judgment. It's hermia. And what the Apostle Paul was saying in the Greek when he was saying, guys, be prepared for the day of judgment. And here's the crazy thing. For the believer, the day of judgment doesn't necessarily happen for us because our judgment has been paid at the cross. And that's why he said, be prepared for it. If you're prepared for it, then what you have done is you've received the sacrifice of Jesus for that day of judgment. So you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to have anxiety about it. You can actually have freedom in it. It's interesting that the church at Thessalonica seemed to be more interested in the day of the Lord than the church of 2024. And they're literally 2,000 years removed from us, and they were more concerned about it than we are. So our question is, are we ready? The second thing that the Apostle Paul says, he says, ready up, and then he says, wake up. He says, wake up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 6, it says, but you're not in darkness, brothers. For that day to surprise you like a thief, you're not that way. For you're children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness, so let's not sleep as others do. But let's keep awake and be sober. The word awake here in the Greek is Gregorio. Gregorio, which means to be vigilant, watchful, and alert. So it's not necessarily asleep. It's actually just being aloof. It's not being aware. It's not being vigilant. It's not actually caring. And I know that for many of us, when we think about this alertness, like how many of us in here were glued to some sort of like either TV or internet or something like all day Wednesday and even like Thursday morning? How many of you were watching so that you could be aware? How many of you were watching TV? Just say, I want to be aware of the storm. Yeah. Because we wanted to know. We wanted to know how we were supposed to prepare. Now, let me ask this question in here. How many of you in here are like heavy sleepers, like train could come through your house? You would still be asleep. How many are heavy sleepers? Okay, we got some heavy sleepers. How many of you are light sleepers? Like, you're just awake. You just don't. How many light sleepers in here? Okay, pen drops, you're up. How many of you just don't sleep? Tom Wilson. I don't even know if Tom's in here, but he doesn't sleep. One of our elders. I don't think he ever sleeps. He just doesn't. He told us one time, he said, like, 2-3 hours of sleep, that's about all you need. I was like, you're insane. I don't even know how you function. But like, we have some heavy sleepers. Has anybody in here ever sleepwalk? Anybody know a sleepwalker? Oh, Perry, you sleepwalk? Did that happen at camp? Who was Perry's counselor at camp? Like, I could just see Perry at camp like, whoa. Like, I don't know. When I think of sleepwalkers, I always think like they're a zombie. Like, their arms have to be straight out. Because, like, that's how we've always seen it on television. Like, if somebody's sleepwalking, it's like, why do you sleepwalk like this? Because I don't sleep like that. Like, I'm not laying on my back with my arms stuck straight out. So, like, why when I sleepwalk are my arms like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why. But so sleepwalkers is basically they're awake and asleep at the same time. Like they're functioning and moving like they're awake, but they are asleep. And I want you to picture this. The Apostle Paul says, some of you are awake naturally and asleep spiritually. So everything looks like on the surface, you're awake and the lights are on, but nobody's home spiritually. He said, guys, wake up. Wake up to the reality that Jesus Christ and the return of Christ is going to happen. Do you know that in 2022, they did a study and it showed only 31% of people in their 20s and 30s actually have any religious affiliation whatsoever. Literally, the light of faith is growing dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And the younger you are, the dimmer it's getting. And the reason why I'm so excited about some of our students, the reason why I'm so excited about what Hannah and some of our young adult groups are getting together, we have 5 young adult life groups that are all coming together to put on this young adult worship night. You know why I'm excited? Because some of them are saying, no more. Are we going to be asleep? No more are we going to be known as a generation who is not affiliated with Jesus. We believe in who Jesus is. We believe he is the hope of the world, and we want our generation to know that. And I will just tell you this, old people like me need to support young people like them and like these up here and say, we believe in you. And we need you, and we want you to lead like Jesus. Like, that's what we're called to do. I'll just tell you, because if we don't do that, what are we going to do 10 years from now when I'm 66? Is it going to be just a bunch of old farts in here? Does God remember those days? I hope not. I hope literally one day when I'm 80, I'm in the back and I'm still rocking for Jesus with somebody else up here leading. I'm just hoping. That's my prayer for this ministry, is that it doesn't die with us older people, but it is birthed into our younger generation. We say, this is your church. This is your ministry. Fall in love with Jesus and have a passion for him. Let's not sleepwalk our way through life, hoping that one day we'll just get to heaven and everything will be great. You know why I think we sleepwalk most of the time? Because we're distracted. And I wonder if Satan's greatest distraction in our culture today, or his greatest tactic in our culture today, is not that he's trying to get us to sin more. He's just trying to get us to be distracted more. If Satan can get us distracted more, we will do less for God. Because distractions are the thing that move us away most of the time. The next thing that Paul says is he says, sober up. Paul makes a call for like mental clarity and emotional stability, because I think most of the time when we read a term like sober up, we think somebody's drunk. And that could be the case. But in verses 7 through 10, he's not necessarily talking about that. He said, for those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. That's probably true. I mean, unless you're a day drinker, and I know some of you are. Said that out loud. Just popped right out of there. I don't know. But since we belong to the day, he said, let's be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of hope, of the hope of salvation, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whenever we're awake or asleep, we might live with him. He says, sober up. Now, the word sober here is nepho. Nepho is actually to be calm, collected, or temperate. Calm, collected, temperate. That is not me. I'm just going to tell you, I am rarely calm. I just am not that way. How many of you, if you're defining yourself by this term, would say you're not sober most of the time? How many, defining it by this term right here, by this term, calm, collected, temperate. How many of you are not sober right now? Okay, see, that's why so that's good. Okay. So, like, I just like to say I'm just drunk in the spirit because I'm not sober. Like, so I'm just drunk. But what it's saying here is there are seasons in our life that literally my spazzing out does not help the situation. And I need to be calm. And I need to be collected. And I need to be temperate. And when I'm not, what happens is I miss what God is trying to say to us. Do you realize that studies have shown that Gen Z has the highest rate of mental health struggles of any other generation? Gen Z. That's 12. Gen Z is 12 to 28. 12 to 28. It says that it indicates that 42% of those people, 20s and 30s, have been diagnosed with a mental health condition in 2023. That is last year. And more than 50% of them experience symptoms of anxiety regularly. We are stressed out, overwhelmed, and emotionally taxed. And Paul tells us to be sober, to maintain clarity of mind and heart through faith, love, and the hope of salvation. Do you know why? Do you know why sometimes we end up struggling with alcoholism? Do you know why? Because we have anxiety and we think that the alcohol will fix the anxiety that I have. Do you know why we struggle with any addiction that we have? And it doesn't have to be alcoholism. It could be drug addiction or anything else. And by no means am I saying that one drink is a problem, but I will tell you this. This is how you learn if you have a problem. If you have a stressful day at work, and the thing that you're thinking about is going home and getting a drink, then that drink is the thing that you think is going to remove the stress. Now that's a crutch. Because does that make sense? Because if you're looking, whatever you're looking for as the thing that's going to fix the other thing, that's the crutch. That's the addiction. And you know, for some of you, it doesn't have to be alcohol. For some of you, like, I got to go to the gym. I got to go to the gym. I got to go to the gym. I got to burn off some of this. And you might need to. But if that's the only thing, and what happens is because what we do is we mask the problem and never deal with the root of the problem. And that's all addiction ever is. Addiction deals with the fruit. It never deals with the root. And he's saying, we got to sober up with what's going on in our lives. That's why verse 8, it says, but since we belong to the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. How do we maintain clarity when everything is chaotic? How do we stay emotionally grounded when the world feels unstable? I want to give you a couple of really quick things, and they're not on the screen if you want to jot them down. But here's the deal. Check your armor. So what do you mean by check your armor? Go to Ephesians chapter 6 one day and look at the armor of God. Because if you're struggling in your mental clarity, you're struggling with the difficulty and the stress, check your armor. Because there's probably something that's not there that should be there. And I would say this, the first one is the helmet of salvation. Without the covering of Jesus Christ, everything else that you put on is not going to help. Because what's the most important thing, like, that you have to protect in battle? What do you want to protect? Your head. If somebody cuts your head off, you're done. So it's the most important thing, and the helmet of salvation is primary. The next thing I want to talk to you about is build up. Build up. In verses 11 through 18, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. We're asking you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them with very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Admonish the idle. That means, that is a kind word to kick them in the butt. Admonish the idle. Just give them a kick. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I will tell you that in the middle of crisis, like we have experienced in our community and in communities around, what happens most often is it brings out the best in most people and the worst in some people. I love going into communities where tragedy has struck, where catastrophic difficulty is surrounding you. And sometimes you go into your house where you've lost everything and you go, I don't even know where to start. And a neighbor shows up, or a friend shows up out of the blue, and they say, how can I help? How can I help? I want to share with you, during this season, helping your neighbor is the most Jesus thing that you can do. Walking across the street, or going down the street, or going to somebody in your small group and saying, how can I help? Here's what you're going to hear. And I'm just telling you, relevant people, don't say it again. This is what they'll say. We're good right now. No, you're not. I don't care if you just need somebody to come over and hug your neck. That's all they need to do. Because I know you're not good right now. I know that you're not good right now. And it's okay for you not to be okay right now. It's okay. But we as your family want to wrap our arms around you, and we want to love you, and we want to build you back up. Because that's what we're called to do. That's why we're a family. Let us be the family of God that we're supposed to be. And if you live in a community and you didn't get affected at all, go to your neighbor who you've never talked to and say, how can I help? Because you may not know that that is exactly the tool that God is going to use so that they can see Jesus in you and through you. But sometimes we just don't spend enough time building people up. You know the word encourage, we talked about this word. It's the same word in the Greek that we use for the Holy Spirit. It's parakaleo. The Holy Spirit is called the paraclete. It's parakaleo, which actually means to come alongside someone, to comfort someone, to exhort someone, and to uplift someone. That's what we get to do. I want you to know, when we go serve people, no one has to. We get to. We get to do that. So I would just say, man, let us do what God has called us to do. There is no better season for the church to be the church than when disaster happens. No better season. Because we get to say, God's still on the throne, and my hope is still in him. And then lastly, we get to live it up. And I'm done. Verses 19 to 24 says, don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the paraclete. Don't quench somebody who's trying to encourage. Don't despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. In other words, lean into what's good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. Here it comes. He's coming. He's coming. He who called you is faithful. He will surely do it. The message of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is this. It's not just for the church at Thessalonica. It's for us as well. So how do we live it up? Everybody wants, how am I supposed to live it up? Live awake. Live sober. live prepared. Live awake, live sober, live prepared, and build other people up. If we build others up more than ourselves, I promise you that's the way to live it up. You live it up by building somebody else up. And that's what this is all about. I want to give you some action steps, and we're done. Here's some action steps for today. Because here's the thing. I think that we all like to come to church and we like to feel better about ourselves, but what do we do with it? Like, what do we do with what we've heard? If you don't do anything with what you've heard, all you heard was a good motivational speech. And I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher, and I want to share with you the truth of the Word of God so that it can change our lives. That's what it's for. And so here's some action steps. Action step number one, ready up. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? If Christ were to return today, are you prepared? Do you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And I hope so, I think so, I pray that that'll happen. I pray my good outweighs my bad. That's not being prepared. That's wishful thinking, and we're not about wishful thinking. I wanna know. And the Bible says I can know that I have a relationship with Christ, because it's not about me, it's about him and about what he did. And so being prepared is saying, here's how I get prepared. I say yes to Jesus. I say, Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. My sin separates me from you. So today, this day, September 29th, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. Now you're prepared for the day of the Lord. The second thing, wake up. Some of us have been spiritually asleep for a long time. You took a nap in 1986 and you ain't woke up yet. Wake up. There's stuff going on around us. And we need to be spiritually awake so we can help somebody else. Wake up. If there's something that's helping you doze off spiritually, I will tell you, confess it and say, God, I want to wake up. I need a Red Bull for Jesus, man. That's what I need. Jesse liked that one. I know he did. Jesse like, I drink a Monster for Jesus because I got to wake up. I got to wake up. Somebody needs to sober up in here. You need to be emotionally and mentally grounded, and you're not. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are emotional roller coasters. Like, your emotions go, whoo, whoo, whoo. And you're right. You're literally all the time. And it's exhausting. Say, God, I need to get emotionally grounded. And that comes when I ground myself in you. You know why anxiety is so strong? Because your root's not in Jesus. If you anchor yourself in Jesus, he doesn't move. He's immovable. But if your anchor is in what you do and what people think you are and what you hope that your social media page will present to other people that you are, you will live in an emotional roller coaster your whole life. Get rooted in who Jesus is, and then build somebody else up, not yourself. Be an encourager and a supporter of people around you. Build up. Now, why I want you to do those four things? Because I believe with those four things, you can live it up. Because you'll be living in light of eternity. That's what the Apostle Paul, he started with encouraging the church at Thessalonica. And he ended with another encouragement. Live it up. In light of eternity, live it up. We live it up as we ready up, wake up, sober up, and build up. That's how we live it up. My prayer for you today is that's where you would be. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask you a question today. I think this is the most important question I could ever ask you. It's the one thing that seals the deal. I want you to be ready. And I don't want to be a pastor who tries to tell people, give people like a self-help talk. I want to give you a Jesus talk. Jesus said that he loves us. He went to the cross to die for our sins. and he wants to give us salvation that's a free gift from him and him alone. And all we have to do is receive it. It's not about what we do, it's about what he did. But if we don't receive it, if we don't say, God, I need that, it's like leaving a gift under the Christmas tree forever and never opening it. And today I don't want you to do that. So today, if you would say, Paul, you know what? I need to ready up. Today, I need to admit that my sin has separated me from Jesus, and I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to accept his gift. I want to be ready for eternity, and I know it's not something I do, it's something he did. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to tell you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to be bold enough to lift up your hand to say, that is me that you're talking to today, and I'm praying to receive Jesus today. Would you just slip up your hand? Nobody is going to look around. Nobody's going to embarrass you. But if that's you today, I just want to pray for you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that hand in the back. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that. God, I'm praying right now for men and women across the room who said today's the day. I thank you that like Jaden, God, they will remember September 29th, 2024, I put a marker in the sand and I said yes to Jesus. God, I pray that you would seal today for them. That you would seal today and they would know that they don't have to worry. It's not something that every week they have to do it. They know that today is the day they prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And God, I pray that you'd seal today as the day they got ready for your return. Well, thank you. With your heads bowed, I got one more thing I want to ask you. Some of you today, we're having baptism here, and you weren't ready. You weren't ready for that. You're like, I don't know if I want to get baptized. But you know God's talking to you. This is one of those days. This is one of those weird days. I'll just tell you. We didn't have anybody. Actually, we had a couple of people sign up, and then they couldn't show up for baptism today. So we literally filled the pool in faith because I believe that God knows who's supposed to get baptized today, and maybe that's you. And you're going, nope, not me today. I can't do that. But God's saying it's you, and it's today. And if that's you today, and you need to get baptized today, I want to encourage you about something. We have everything you need. You say, I don't have any clothes with me. We have shorts and shirts and undergarments for men and women of any size. But if today's the day and you said, I've never been baptized, but it's time. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow when God said, today is the day. Here's what I want you to do. If nobody does it, then this is God's church and God can do what he wants to do. But I believe there's somebody in here today that you know today is your day. September 29th is your day that God said, you need to step out and declare your faith in Jesus Christ through baptism. If that's you, here's what I want you to do. As soon as we stand to sing, I want you to head out the back doors. Susie is right at the back doors. Pastor Tim is right at the back doors. They will get you what you need to be prepared for baptism. Don't wait till tomorrow. Why would you wait? If you can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the whole